Open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 19, please. We're going to begin a series of messages that I'm entitling, Let's Have a Rock Concert. And that's what we'll be doing every Sunday morning for the next couple of weeks. I like life to be simple. I like simple instructions. I like simple things to do. I like my life to be peaceful and simple. Can I get a witness? Amen. So we're going to have a simple message. But listen, the ramifications of these messages today and the weeks following are going to be rather profound, okay? So Luke chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading, just jump into verse 37. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. He had the triumphal entry where he was riding in on a donkey, and all these people on the side of the road were placing palm branches on the road, placing clothes in front of the donkey as he walked down the path into Jerusalem. And so in verse 37, we're going to begin there. Then as he, Jesus, was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Verse 39. If this is a movie, the tone's going to change. Dun, dun, dun. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, God, for the insights and the revelation that your word is pregnant with. Father, help us to see. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear, to understand and to plumb the depths of your wisdom through your word. May you be glorified, God. We join with those disciples of old, 2,000 years ago, and we worship you for your mighty deeds, what we have seen, what we have heard, and what we'll yet to see, and what we'll yet to hear. To your glory, Heavenly Father, in Jesus we pray, amen. Now, sometimes we read this passage, and we just kind of say, you know, we need to praise the Lord, otherwise the rocks are going to cry out, right? But do we ever stop and think of rocks crying out? If the rocks were to cry out, what would the rocks be saying? Anybody ever thought about that? Probably not, would we? We just read that and say, okay, maybe the rocks could give us a run for our money and our praise of God. But listen, here's a very important point at the outset of this series, of this message. Did you know that a lot of the great Bible events happened on rocks, around rocks, with rocks, and through rocks? I'm going to say that again. The great Bible events, some of them happened on rocks, around rocks, with rocks, and through rocks. So this morning, I'm not going to do a lot of Bible preaching. I'm going to let the rocks speak for themselves. I'm going to interview rocks from of old. Everybody okay with that? I brought a pail here, and so I've got rocks in my pail. And so this is the gist of the message. I'm just going to take a back seat, and I'm going to let the rocks cry out. Here we have rock number one. Rock number one. Rock, do you have anything to say to this congregation? This is the rock speaking. First of all, brothers and sisters, I want to give glory to God and the assembly of the saints. I want to declare that I once served as a pillow for a man on the run for his life. Who's that man? Jacob. Now, this would make a good pillow, wouldn't it? I don't think so. For you see that Jacob fell on hard times, and he hit, get this, rock bottom. He was fleeing from his brother Esau, because he deceived his father Isaac out of Esau's blessing. And he used me as a pillow. And you see, the pillow that I served that one night, Jacob had a dream. Jacob stood me erect on the ground and he poured oil on me and he anointed me as some sort of special rock. But that night was a very destiny-filled night for Jacob because he had a dream of angels going up and down a ladder to heaven. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you this morning that God will give you dreams of your life and what life can be with the good Lord's presence in it. Come on, somebody. Who believes that life can be better with God in it? Amen. Amen? See, this rock is saying that Jacob had a dream, but God also gives us dreams. How many of us know that God gives us, maybe not night dreams, sometimes he gives us night dreams, but God gives us dreams, daydreams, visions of what we could envision life being. Come on, somebody. I remember when I was fumbling around and kind of spiraling, kind of out of control, after my divorce of almost 30 years of divorce that I didn't want. You know what I held on to when my life would look like a blank slate? Because how do you reinvent yourself after 30 years of routine and pattern and knowing what to expect and knowing how to live? Then all of a sudden, all the scaffolding of your life that propped your life up is gone. And you have no roadmap for the second half of your life. You know what? What kept me going was a dream that God was going to restore my life. And I saw what life could be, and I held on to what life could be, that dream that God gave me. And because of that dream, I believed that my life could get good again. Come on, somebody. Who believes that no matter what your life looks like right now, life can always get good again? Amen? Amen? See, that's the dream that God gave Jacob of a better life. And, you know, just to kind of fast forward a little bit with Jacob's life, Jacob, the deceiver, turned into Jacob, the prince. You see, the first time that Jacob wanted a blessing from God, Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" What did Jacob say? "I'm Esau." Remember? "I'm Esau. The son deceived his own father." Fast forward many years. And when God asked him, when Jacob was wrestling with the angel, God asked him, "Who are you?" Jacob did not try to deceive the Lord God. He came clean. He admitted. He said, "I am Jacob. I am a deceiver." And from that point on, God gave him a new name. And what was Jacob's new name? Israel, which means prince. So he was a better man for it. And the rocks are crying out. Listen, that rock would say to us today, God can give you dreams of a better life, and hold on to those dreams, and don't settle for the cruddy life that you have right now. And if you're not as close to God as you were last night, I was with some friends, you know, Mexican friends. We were at a Mexican restaurant, and my friend was telling me, "Joe, I've got to get closer to God. I've got to start reading the Bible. I've got to do this." And I was just encouraging him. I said, "Brother, don't stay far from the Lord. Get back to where you know you need to be." Come on, somebody. Don't you think that is a dream? That's a dream that should pulsate in all of our hearts and course through all of our veins. So that was one rock that we interviewed. There is yet another rock. Rock number two. This rock was not a pillow. Did not serve as a pillow. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to stand before the assembling of God's people to give testimony to the glory of God that I was a rock that once sat in the desert, and all 2 million of God's people were grumbling and frustrated. And their leader, Moses, was really angry. For you see, God told Moses, go to this rock and do what to the rock? Speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. But because Moses was short-fused that day and he had had enough of the people's griping and complaining, he decided to strike me how many times? Twice. We need to read the Bible. Maybe we should continue in Genesis on Wednesday nights. We're going to fast forward to Jacob, to Moses rather. And he struck me twice, and I'm here to say in front of the assembly of God, those grumbling people who were thirsty and were griping to God that they were going to die of thirst, all of a sudden these gushers flowed out of me and gave enough living waters for the people to drink. And I'm here to testify that God can bring rivers of living water into your parched, dry places in your lives. How many of you can join with this rock and say, yes, God can flow rivers of living water into the dry places of our lives? Come on, somebody. Are we going to praise him? Are we going to let the rocks outdo us this morning? Or are we going to praise him? Come on, brothers. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap. Yes, he can bring living water into the dry places of our lives. What about your finances? Are your finances look like a desert? Are you crying out to the Lord, 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 help me, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet, Lord. I'm dying of thirst financially. You know, my beautiful fiance has a coworker that's unbelievably out-leveraged in debt. And Kelly and I were having a conversation just rather recently. And her husband, no job. He's disabled. Thank you. Okay, I missed that detail. She doesn't have enough money to buy groceries. She goes to the local food pantry for food, and some of the cans that they give her are expired. And so she told Kelly that, and Kelly and I had a conversation about us helping out, because Kelly was like, I don't know what to do, right, babe? You're like, I don't know. And so we put our heads together, and that earlier that day, you know, I had seen a nice pair of shoes, Polo Ralph Lauren shoes, that I thought, man, those driver moccasins are pretty tight. That's kind of young talk generation, and that's kind of the hood. They were pretty fly. They were pretty nice. But, you know, as I was checking out on the website, and it called for my credit card numbers, I was going to punch them in, and I just had a check in my spirit. You know, this is way before the conversation took place. It was the same day, way before the conversation took place. And I just felt in my heart the Lord saying, you know, don't buy those shoes. You could help someone with that money. So fast forward about 10 hours. 10 hours later, I'm talking to Callie, and she brings the story up, and it just made perfect sense. Say the lady used to pray about an hour early every morning, crying out to God for provision. And so we put money together, and she got her groceries bought. And what did she say the next day at work? I actually have a sandwich for lunch. Is he the God that brings rivers of living waters into our parched places? Perhaps in our parched place, in our desert, we feel far away from God. We read the Bible, but the Bible doesn't jump out at us. It doesn't register with us. No light bulbs are going off. We don't feel the presence of God. We don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. We feel like we're a dry, dusty land. And any thought of God's presence is like a mirage. Anybody ever been there? I've been there. I've been there. Where God doesn't speak or doesn't seem to be speaking, he seems aloof and not close. And I'm here to tell you, you know, that rock is telling us, if that rock cries out, it's telling us this morning, rivers of water, of living water, can flow into all the dry places of our lives. Spiritually, emotionally, physically. Who all believe that your health can be restored? Physically, financially, socially, in relationships. So that rock is telling us, that yes, water can flow. How many of you are getting something good out of this message? Are the rocks crying out?
Yep.
There's one rock, one more rock here today that I want to interview. I was minding my own business, lying on the ground in the temple courts. And then all of a sudden, in a quiet morning, early morning, Jesus sat down in the courts and began to teach the masses about God's love and God's goodness and God's provision. When all of a sudden his teaching was disrupted by a loud noise of this gang of livid Pharisees dragging a woman by the hair to the temple courts and shoving her and pushing her down in front of Jesus. She was half clothed. Apparently, they had caught her in the act of adultery. Jesus saw what had happened, and he looked down. But then these guys, they were frothing at the mouth as they looked at Jesus. And they asked him, "Master, teacher, you think you're a great Bible teacher? God's word says, Moses says, the lawgiver says, that such a woman should be stoned. What do you say?" Well, you see, brethren, I just looked at Jesus, and he stooped down to the ground again, and he began to write with his finger. You know, church family, I'm going to interrupt the rock here. The one... Did you know, let me rewind, did you know that the law of God was written in stones as well? By the finger of Jesus Christ himself? So these fools are trying to question Jesus about what the law really says when it was Jesus' finger, the same finger that wrote on the dirt, was the same finger that wrote the commandments on the tablets. Come on, somebody. And maybe he's telling them, "Don't you dare tell me what the law says. I wrote the law myself." Maybe that's what he was writing down on the dirt. Maybe he was showing them that Almighty God, the pure and holy God, is not too pure to get his hands dirty with people. Come on, somebody. Maybe Almighty God is really about loving and restoring people and exposing hypocrisy in those who think they're better than others. Amen. Come on, somebody. Let's give the rocks a run for their money. Let's praise God in the house. And I'm telling you, I saw Jesus wrote, and here's another possibility. He wrote on the dirt, Pharisee number one, red roof in, with Sister Jones, from the choir. Don't you think that could have been a possibility? Listen, and the rock's probably saying, "Listen, and these Pharisees were choking me. This one Pharisee was choking me so hard. He was gripping me hard. And he was ready to throw me right at that woman, aiming for her head." When Jesus said, "Let him who has not sinned be the first to throw a stone." And all of a sudden, I was dropped to the ground. And all you could hear was a thud. And then there were other thuds. Can you get my rock, please? That rock has a mind of its own. It's a rolling stone. Yes, it is. In more ways than one, brother. Thud after thud after thud. From the more experienced, the wiser ones, the older ones, to the younger ones. See, the younger ones haven't experienced life. The younger ones are not aware of their sins. Amen. The younger ones think they're better than everybody else. The younger ones have not had ample opportunities to mess up with their lives to think, well, you know, I haven't done much bad with my life. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on. They ain't old enough, right? They haven't had enough time to be presented with opportunities and temptation. I'm going to pursue that thought, church family. Listen to me. Never, never judge somebody because you don't know the options they had or lack of options they had, and you don't know the weaknesses they had. Listen, I'll say it this way. Just because your sin does not look like my sin does not give me a right to judge you. You don't know the pressures I face, and I don't know the pressures you face. So what am I going to do? Am I going to pick up a stone? But, you know, we seem to pick up stones, and, you know, stones look different today than they did 2,000 years ago in Jesus' day. Stones look like words. Well, shouldn't Sister So-and-so know any better? You know, they've been coming to church for 45 years, and she did what? Once again, let him who has not sinned be the first to throw the stone. And I'm telling you, I saw Jesus. And Jesus made sure he didn't look up till they were all gone. And it was only him and the woman alone. What was that, Rock? I want to hear you say it again. It was only Jesus and the woman alone. You mean he didn't expose her? He didn't shame her? He didn't single her out in front of other people? No. You're writing notes? Take that down. That was a nugget of truth this Rock gave us. Jesus saw her with eyes of compassion, eyes of love, and he saw that she was only a pawn in a scheme, in a racket, to try to trap Jesus with a question. Jesus loved her. Jesus said to her, I do not condemn you. And Jesus also told her out of love, go and sin no more. Come on, somebody. Amen. If the rocks could cry out, how many of you would agree with me that these are some of the things they would say? Right? Because they were there, right, Lyle? Right. None of us have the capacity to judge. Listen, my family, the reality was those who were not qualified to throw stones at her wanted to. Those who were not qualified to judge her did. And he who was qualified to judge her did not. Amen. Bottom line, period. Can we take our cues from the master? You guys okay? Can we give the Lord a good hand and praise him and give the rocks a run? Lord, we thank you. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your love, for your faithfulness, Lord, throughout the ages to your people, to us. Thank you, Lord, that the rocks have a voice. And Lord, if we decide to stop praising you, the very rocks themselves will cry out. God, we give you thanks for your love for us, for your goodness. Lord, may we remember that you give us dreams like you gave Jacob, that you changed lives like you changed Jacob's, Lord. Father, that you provide living water in the midst of dryness in our lives. Father, that you are the one that does not condemn us, but you command us, Lord, to live pure lives before you, for our protection, God. Thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.